Guys, thanks, Ken. Glad your honey is with you now in Pueblo, and you guys are settled in and enjoying some sightseeing, I see. So I'm happy for your reunion. Welcome to everybody that's here in the sanctuary, anybody that might be listening on the radio. Glad to be here. Really feel to not have a whole lot of fluff. Not a I don't you know personal sharing doesn't feel important right now. I really would like to delve pretty much right into Experience Your Perfect Soul. That reading feels like food in a way of nourishment. And so I have been feeling a bit busy in the mind, and so I welcome any opportunity to silence that busyness or turn away from that busyness or not allow the distraction of that busyness to get in the way of what I truly want. And so I trust that I will be used in whatever way serves the highest good. And that's one good, so we all benefit. Yes, so I trust that that will be. Amen. So we left off chapter 2, W. Norman Cooper. We're reading from W. Norman Cooper from his book Finding Yourself, and Michael Langford has selected the proper quotes that he felt suited the direct path method. And so chapter 2, we are on page, we left off on page 45, I believe, but what I'm going to do is just go back a page and start at the beginning of that section, which was called Yourself as Consciousness. Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. It is of paramount importance to realize that yourself is much more than your material body. And if you've forgotten, the self we're speaking of here is always with a capital S. He kind of laid out that ground rule in the very beginning. He made a very clear distinction between your self as two separate words and yourself, the self being capital S self. So again, it is of paramount importance to realize that yourself is much more than your material body. It is even much more than your human intellectuality. Yourself is your consciousness, your inspired, eternal, loving consciousness. You exist as consciousness. And I want to pause quickly there because Michael Langford had put out a short audio on the definition of thought and awareness. And he was simply saying that thought are the words of our native language in our mind, and awareness was that which wakes up in the morning and is continuous until one goes to sleep at night. And yourself is that consciousness. That is what awaken seems to awaken. And we want to somehow see that as within form, within a body, within myself. And it simply cannot be contained in that way. Yet it is all that is, inclusive of this even possibility of imagining myself to be something other than I am, even if that, you know, we know that doesn't hold up as true. And awareness sees that. Awareness sees that. And we are that awareness. Yourself is your consciousness. Many of our exercises in Gentle Healing Group are aimed toward showing us and pointing us. Our meditation practices are geared towards showing us you are not that sensation you are having in your body. There is the one who sees the feels the sensation. Investigate that one. Your feeling or your emotion that you're experiencing right now, it's temporary. It shifts and changes, comes and goes. Can you be that if you are self as consciousness, which is one of the I'll just call it characteristics of consciousness that is most helpful to me is that it's constant, no change. Ever present. It's all that is when everything else is stripped away. So yourself is your consciousness, your inspired, eternal, loving consciousness. You exist as consciousness. Because you are consciousness, you exist. Think of yourself as consciousness. You are conscious of yourself. Think of the tremendous power available to you in that statement. You are conscious of yourself. Yourself is consciousness. One of the meditation exercises, and the last line to that paragraph is, consciousness is yourself. I believe it's meditation. Gentle Healing, in Gentle Healing, I use Karen Wirth's meditations, which are from Michael Langford's instructions. And right now I've been using, I believe it's instruction Q. And in that instruction, it speaks about awareness as one awareness, not two. Not two. There's not an awareness looking at a separate or another awareness. It's one awareness, only one, not two. And sometimes I've noticed, at least in myself, that the tendency to still want to see it in some sort of dualistic viewpoint, which feels like a creeping in of maybe ego into spirituality, trying to help me understand from its preservation strategy, the ways it works in very, you know, subtle ways to confuse me about what's going on, that there's two awarenesses or two of anything. Two of anything. So that particular meditation has been very helpful to me this week. Again, think of the tremendous power available to you in that statement. You are conscious of yourself. Yourself is consciousness. Consciousness is yourself. Consciousness can only be experienced. It can never be fully explained. Consciousness is freedom from all the clothing of human reasoning about it. And of course, this clothing word is not of course, but you can, if you can't, don't have the book, it's in quotes. There's really no shrouding around consciousness except the thoughts that I choose to attach to, the beliefs I choose to believe in, the lies I choose to engage in. That's the clothing that human reasoning or that attempt intellectually, even to try to understand what consciousness is from, the intellectual level. It's not, at least the way I sense it, it would never be understood from that level. That's part of that letting go process. That is the freedom to let go of any past learning as the light to guide me now. That's this clothing of human reasoning that we try to, and it's an innocent thing, I'm certain. I don't, it doesn't feel like it's just something to be noticed that the ego has many preservation strategies and it wants to usurp our quiet time when we ask from beyond the thinking mind to be given whatever it is that we are to receive. I mean, I don't even know what that is. I don't know. We just stay with I don't know, and we'll be safe. Whereas the ego wants to know, to say, oh, I get it. Without having that experience. That direct experience. I mean, I can talk about this all I want, but if I'm not having the direct experience, I'm definitely going to say so. Follow your, one of Regina's greatest pieces of advice for me has been never abdicate your own authority. Always listen to your own inner voice. There's a perfect plan for you. It may not look like anybody else's perfect plan, but we have to go within to receive that. We don't get it from the clothing. So, teaching, as I view it, is helping the students remove outworn clothing of thought. Remove outworn clothing of thought. And that's that process where, as we become more in tune with who we are as self and pay attention, and I think Regina said, attention is focused awareness. What am I paying attention to? I'm aware and my attention is focused on something. What is it focused on? Is it focused on a thought that leads me back to awareness, back to self? Does it resonate with the love that I am? Is it, what am I experiencing here? Or, am I watching thought, engaged in a story, in a conversation in my head, my attention is completely focused outward, I'm frazzled. What am I doing? What am I doing? And that's this, outworn clothing of thought. He's talking about helping us to remove these clothes of thought are presented in many ways, through church doctrines, creeds, and dogmas, through family instructions, through philosophy, psychology, and through so many other coverings. Made me think of Waffle House. Smothered and covered. We have smothered and covered and heaped on to pure awareness, that screen that is still eternally freedom. We have, splattered so much paint. I had that dream where everybody had a paintbrush and was able to dip into the paint can, your own or someone else's, and just fling the paint at the canvas until it became so saturated with paint, it didn't seem possible that there was a clean, pure canvas only that in truth existed. The rest was the layers, this outworn clothing, the coverings. All of these may be helpful for a time, but if we are to behold the spontaneity of consciousness, all these coverings must eventually be laid aside. You notice spontaneity of consciousness, not the, planning and thinking I know what needs to be done and worrying about what following guidance really means and am I, am I experiencing a sense of sacrifice or loss? Those are the heavy coverings. Those are the thoughts that we can notice, the feelings, if it's a visceral thing for you that you notice, in the pit of your stomach, in the tightness of your neck, in the tension in your shoulders, in the, whatever you might be experiencing, notice that. Notice that. And ask, is this serving my highest purpose? That my attention is totally focused on this. That's a heavy covering. So all of these may be helpful for a time, but if we are told, I'm sorry, but if we are to behold the spontaneity of consciousness, all these coverings must eventually be laid aside. Only then, as we stand mentally naked, do we find enlightened consciousness. And in several of the meditations that Karen Worth has, it speaks to this very idea of when you notice a thought, don't complete the thought. If you're in meditation and you notice a thought arise, first of all, you notice a thought arise. You are the you that noticed. You are in control and you don't complete the thought. You return to that you. Don't complete the thought. And so when we don't complete the thought, we make the choice to be mentally naked. We have that open space, that clean altar. That pure screen. Upon which we receive guidance, intuition, what to do, where to go, what to say, to whom to give the miracles right now. Right now. All that is of value must be found in and as yourself. If you are to see yourself as consciousness, you must put aside every covering of human intellectuality, no matter how time-honored or how good it has been in the past. There is freedom to be had when you see yourself as consciousness. Consciousness is freedom. is spontaneity, is enthusiasm. To behold yourself as consciousness is to behold the wonder of life and to be freed from fear. But you can never behold the self of your being without dropping the coverings which have kept you from being free. You know, that loop of thought that we maintain over and over and over. That's why we call it a loop of thought. And there's no break in the loop. And we actually believe that loop. And I remember Carla sharing, I don't know, in the last couple of weeks, where she said she noticed that she had been believing those thoughts to be who she was, and that she somehow had to listen to those thoughts as if they were her. And there was that realization that I'm not those thoughts. I don't have to listen to that. I am, you know, there's that lesson from A Course in Miracles. I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. You can, once again, you can never behold the self of your being without dropping the coverings which have kept you from being free. When you love, you are love. You are the self. Your being is limitless and free. It is this limitless and free consciousness which is your being. It is this limitless and free consciousness which is your self. You are free and limitless consciousness. You are yourself. I'm going to grab a quick drink of water here. I like this title already. This is the next piece called Yourself as Silence. This self-truth knowing, and you guys have heard me say this before, but just in case you haven't, the self-truth knowing is simply separated by a hyphen, but appearing as like one word, at least to me. This self-truth knowing is the silence of thought in which you recognize your oneness with the divine identity of yourself. The silence of thought. I love that. This self-truth knowing is the silence of thought in which you recognize your oneness with the divine identity of yourself. This silence of thought may be easily acquired if you will but set aside a part of each day to feel and to be one with the identity of yourself. Self-truth knowing is found in the silence of your own consciousness. And I'm going to say that again. Self-truth knowing is found in the silence of your own consciousness. Self-truth knowing is entering the silent and secure closet of consciousness. Self-truth knowing is being awake to the identity of your own self. And you can be awake to this identity only in the silence. Basic to self-truth knowing is the silence. To be silent is to enter the holy of holies of consciousness. To be silent is to be one with infinite wisdom. The antidote for all the ills of the world will eventually have to be found in silence. In silence, we come face to face with ourself. At first, you may find it difficult to be silent. If you persist in silence, you will find a security in yourself that nothing can take from you. If you are to know yourself, you must go into the silence of your own consciousness. Be still and know is a necessity for yourself if you are to find yourself. And something that I noticed just in that little line, be still and know, be still, comma. And for me, that feels like that commitment to pause and be still, whether it's in a quote formal meditation where I sit down in a chair and spend, you know, an hour in the morning in meditation, or be still might mean noticing a response bubble up within me in relation to another person. And rather than speaking from that bubble, I notice that it doesn't serve the highest purpose. And so I dismiss that by not, I stay in a pause, in a stillness long enough to notice first what the bubble is saying. And ask myself, is this what I would give to myself? I am always the first point of my own peace or my own attack, even though it may feel as if I'm wanting to seemingly attack another. It's never really about the other. Although in a relative world, it can certainly be experienced that way. but I cannot escape my own choice. So that be still, comma, is like that reminder for me to just take a chill pill for a second, a moment, see what's going on in the mirror own mind right now, and choose with love. This is saying be still and know. You know, in that pause, that is that clean slate, that is that screen, that is that space that we leave open, that quiet space where intuition or the guidance can become clear. It hasn't been pushed out by the heavy coverings because we've consciously made the choice to be still, to just rest in stillness, knowing. That's where the knowingness comes from. That's what's given, is the knowing. I go there not knowing, humble. I don't know. I'm willing to know. And my stillness in this instant is a gift. I am willing and receptive. Please help me. Whatever you want to say, be still and know is a necessity for yourself if you are to find yourself. Simply stated, self-truth knowing is being still and knowing. And believe me, there is no substitute for this silence. You have within consciousness this potential for silence. And Barb spoke to that this morning from one of her readings, and it was about this idea of power. That, you know, we have this power, limitless power within, that is awareness itself. Pure awareness is all powerful. It's everything. And it applies that power, if you want to say applies, for the highest good of all, because that's all it knows. That's all it is. It's for all, always, everlasting, only itself. Nothing else but it. Nothing outside of it. This power can also be misapplied. We have the potential to turn seemingly, you know, all-powerful power into power that can also seem to be weak. Diminished. Divided. But we're being encouraged through silence, through being still, and then knowing, through the commitment to finding the truth of self, and abiding as self through silence. Okay, you have within consciousness right now this potential for silence. Self-truth knowing awakens you to the validity of and the necessity for silence. You find your wholeness in silence. There is a proverb which runs something like this. Silence is the fence around wisdom. And that's interesting because right away what came to me was the section from A Course in Miracles that's, I think it's the What is the Body section. And it says, the body is a fence the Son of God imagines he has built around himself to keep parts of himself from other parts. It is within this fence he thinks he lives. You know, and then it goes on to you know, die and crumble, and but the body as a fence. Of the description here around wisdom, silence, emptiness. Forms will enable you to find wisdom and enable you to keep wisdom. Self-truth knowing is silence. Silence is self. In silence, you come face to face with yourself. In silence, you come to know the truth of yourself. Silence is indeed the language of the self. It's interesting because the word language again triggered that definition from Michael Langford. Language, you know, are the words of your native language in your mind. And that's obviously in reference to English, the English language, the words that I have learned, which are those pylons or those layers of clothing. And so this use of the word language and having silence. Silence is indeed the language of the self. That notion of silence for me conjures up no words, no really anything. Just like that, more of a sense of quiet, unbroken, non-linear, all-encompassing, warm, inviting. Those are words that come to me right now on silence. Using the words of my native language to try to, you know, share just how it feels to me at this moment. That line, silence is indeed the language of the self. Beautiful. In the silence, you are completely open to the love of divinity. I mean, who doesn't want that? In the silence, you are completely open to the love of divinity. You become the love of divinity expressed through and as yourself. In the silence, you know the self of your own being. And I listened to the recording that Ken played this morning, the Regina's recording. And, you know, for the life of me, I cannot remember the content of that recording except for the word being, where she substituted the word being into what was being shared, and with the intention, at least it seems I recollect, and I could be wrong, of stepping into your being as yourself. And that's maybe all I needed to remember about that right now. So this word being, in the silence, the self of your own being. Part of that sharing, I think, was around the idea of proclaiming that I'm a spiritual student, that I know I'm this self, I'm only love, God, I am not a body, I am free, I am still as God created me, I think was an example she used, where we say those words almost like parrots, but there's not that direct experience within that matches the saying of the words. So there's some tension there. And this is experienced. And the only way to release the tension is to step into the being, the truth of who you are. And that's what this is asking us here as well, through silence. You are completely open to the love of divinity. You become the love of divinity expressed through and as yourself. And notice it's saying the love of divinity expressed through you, through you right now, exactly as you are, not somebody else. Who you are right now. Seemingly each one of us. In the silence, the self of your own being. When you are silent, you cannot fail to hear divinity. You cannot fail to hear divinity. Take that in. Place your bets on that. Believe that wholeheartedly if you want to have a belief. Ask yourself, why would I not want to believe that or accept that is even better. Why would I not just simply accept that as true, even if I'm not quite all the way on board with it? Where's the downside, if you want to say that, in trying? In trying. To taking time to be silent. So again, when you are silent, you cannot fail to hear divinity. It is in such silence that you are made whole. Or more accurately, it is in such silence that you realize you are whole. We are silent only when we are free of limiting religious dogma. We are silent only when we are free from limiting prejudices. We are silent only when we are listening to divinity within. When we are truly silent, we are knowing the self. Such knowing is what I call self-truth knowing. It's helpful and necessary to set aside time for the silence of self-truth knowing. Self-truth knowing is not words, nor can it be fully described in or as words. Self-truth knowing is the knowing that all that is of value to you is within yourself. Indeed, all that is of value to you is yourself. Self-truth knowing is easy, natural, and joyous. It cannot be, and indeed is not difficult, unnatural, or joyless. So, you know, when we say, I'm not sure which voice I'm listening to. If your experience is not easy, natural, and joyous, and instead is difficult, unnatural, and joyous-less, or, you know, it's not going so well, you might want to take an opportunity to stop that, be still, pause, and ask, look, do some self-inquiry, look, see what's, you know, twirling around in the thought process, if a thought process seems to be going on, see who it serves, and notice the one that's looking at all of it, and remember, you are the looker. Not all the activity, not the thoughts, not the story, not the emotion, not what seems to be starting up and revving its engine. You're not any of that at all. That's the distraction, the preservation strategies. That's not silence. It's easy to see. So self-truth knowing is easy, natural, and joyous. It cannot be, and indeed is not difficult, unnatural, or joyous less. Go to the silence of your consciousness. Let the divine power within your consciousness guide you. And believe me, there is the divine power to guide you, and to guide you in a completely individual and unique manner. And that's why, again, Regina always shares that, never abdicate your own authority. That her purpose for all of her teaching is so that each of us finds our own internal teacher, our own self, our higher mind, our highest guide, our truth. Our self-truth knowing, whatever you want to call it. Again, here's this affirmation. Believe me, there is the divine power to guide you, and to guide you in a completely individual and unique manner. Always remember, the quieter, the self-truth knowing, the more powerful and deeper is the knowing. Quieter. Not noisy. Not active. Not storytelling. Not deciding. Always remember, the quieter the self-truth knowing, the more powerful and the deeper is the knowing. Self-truth knowing is the love felt as the knowing and expressed as the result of the knowing. In its purest form, Self-truth knowing is not something you know about yourself. Self-truth knowing is the knowing that you are the self. You are the self-truth knowing, and the self-truth knowing is you. So this particular next section is called Yourself as Love. Why do you exist? You know, I'll stop there because I certainly have asked myself that question, maybe in different words, like, you know, what is this all about? Why am I here? You know, what am I here for? You know, what is this plan for God's salvation? What is all this about? We've all possibly asked ourselves that question. Why do I exist? Why do you exist? You exist to love. You exist to be the I am. Being your identity, being one's self, being your I am, is your purpose for existence. And notice, you know, again, I can't help but remember Regina's use of the word being during that audio. This term being was used three times in this little short paragraph. And again, why do you exist? You exist to love. You exist to be the I am, being your identity, being one's self. Being your I am is your purpose for existence. To attempt to change the human scene is not the real purpose of self-truth knowing. So again, talking about trying to change the external circumstance, the human scene, is not the real purpose of self-truth knowing. The real purpose of self-truth knowing is exclusively to know who you are and what you are. Self-truth knowing is not used in the vain attempt to manipulate the human situation in which you find yourself. Yeah, make a better version of me. There's my first clue. I'm not paying attention to my higher self. If me is involved in any way, or that notion we have of self-image, improving my self-image, or a better version of me, a more loving me, even if it's a more loving me. Well, that can be a step in the right direction and a helpful stepping stone along the way. It is not what is being spoken of here. We are being asked to simply let, you know, all of that, those other ideas go, and to step into this one purpose of self-truth knowing in an exclusive sense, completely get off the fence and make the choice to be self-truth knowing. So the real purpose of self-truth knowing is exclusively to know who you are and what you are. Self-truth knowing is not used in the vain attempt to manipulate the human situation in which you find yourself. Self-truth knowing is knowing the glory of yourself. It is feeling the influence of divine love operating for and as yourself. I love that. It is feeling the influence. You know, once again, we're not being asked to negate feelings. Notice the feelings, of course. And we will have feelings of divine love. We will have that influence through our commitment, consistency, and constancy in application of, hey, this is my purpose. This is what I desire. I want to be my true self. I have a willingness to be influenced by the divine love that I am as my driving source. We will have feelings that come with that as well. And it's not about getting attached to those feelings either. Remember, we are not our feelings. We are that which experience, what might experience the feeling, and we're not, we're not asked to deny loving feelings at all. Oh my God, that is the grace. It is feeling the influence of divine love operating for and as yourself. This does not mean that the human scene is not changed by this self-truth knowing, for indeed it is. Sometimes in extremely unusual and dramatic ways. There you go. However, to bring about such changes is not the true purpose of self-truth knowing. At best, such changes are but byproducts of this knowing. So again, let's, not forget to notice if we're getting attached to wanting some sort of like a groovy outcome, some sort of, mystical experience or some sort of something. There's this desire or this feeling that we want as proof of my efforts. It's not about, and that may come, but beware of the ego using that as a ego preservation strategy. It's just another manipulation to keep you stuck in the illusion. Let it go. We are not our experiences or our feelings. So let's see. Self-truth knowing for its own sake remains its reason for such knowing. Simplicity right there, no fluff. Self-truth knowing for its own sake remains its reason for such knowing. Do not mentally dream in the realm of abstractions about the self and mistakenly believe that in such dreaming you are engaging in the correct application of self-truth knowing. So to me, that's a simple caution, and I'll stop there, but it's a simple caution to watch your mind, be vigilant always, because we want to take all of this back and somehow intellectually apply our existing quote knowing as if that's going to help explain what self-truth knowing is. And it never will. It'll simply can muddy up the water. So with that being said, I am ending on page 51. At the bottom, and I'll just stop with the very last two lines, and I apologize. Love is at the basis of all self-truth knowing. That's the very last line on page 51. So I am putting a big earmark on page 52 where we will begin next Sunday, and I thank you for joining me. Yeah, thanks for joining me, guys. All my love. I'll let you go. Bye.